This is my wife, Gina, and I think she's got something to release. Amen.
It's so good to be here with you this morning. There's an awesome presence in this place. And there's change coming to your city. And you are the people that's going to bring the change. All through this service this morning, through this awesome worship, I kept hearing the Father say, I'm extending an invitation to you, to each and every one of you, that it's not about anymore about a pastor and his wife or the leadership of your church. It's about each and every one of us doing our part, stepping up to the plate and sharing the love of Jesus with our neighbors, with our co-workers or whoever. And when the church wakes up to that responsibility, that it is all of us that are, we're to step into that priestly position as sons and daughters of the Most High God.
Amen. I think I should have had her preach this morning. And then the other thing is, you know, the words that came forth, I mean, they're. I thought, well, maybe I should let them preach because what they're saying is exactly what I'm wanting to bring today. So, you know, when I was a child, I was 9 years old, I gave my heart and life to the Lord, and I got baptized. And in those days, the idea was, okay, you get saved, and then you live your life, and you kind of do the best you can, and then your reward will come in heaven. And from a theological point of view, I don't necessarily disagree with that. But there's just so much more that the Father wants for us. Just so much more than that. And Jesus made this statement in John 17. He said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And so what I want to present to you today is that you and I can actually live an eternal life right now. We don't have to wait till we go to heaven. And this idea of knowing God, of knowing the Father, of knowing who He is, of knowing His love for us, will absolutely set us free. We heard about freedom already this morning. And that freedom is a product of knowing the Father. It's a product of that. You know, I remember this is in the mid-60s, I guess. And we had a pastor that came to our church, and he was totally 100% committed to Royal Ambassadors for Boys. And he was so committed that he did it all himself. And we would borrow my dad's truck. We had a 1949 Chevy, 3-speed on the column. And he took out as many, we had about 10 of us, 10 boys. And this man would actually take us out camping all by himself. And there'd be about 3 or 4 of us in the cab, and then all the gear. And I remember going up a hill, in first gear, the truck wouldn't hardly make it. And the springs, everything is sagging down in the back. And, you know, every once in a while, a homemade blanket, kind of homemade sleeping bag would fall off, or a kid would fall off, and we'd have to stop. And I mean, it was crazy. I don't think OSHA had been invented yet. And it was glorious. I mean, I am so grateful for that experience. And I've reflected, you know, at the time, you know, I'm just having fun. And I reflected back on that experience for a number of years, and I concluded that, you know, he had a love for God. And he just wanted us to experience his creation. And it had a lasting effect on me. I'm so fortunate Gina and I we're taking care of a little 82 acres on the Niangua River, and it's just delightful. And I go there as often as I can. But what I didn't understand that old Baptist preacher, he didn't just want me to experience nature. He wanted me to experience the Creator. And I didn't understand that for a long time. For many, many years, I didn't understand that. And then, you know, later on, I used to sit in the barnyard of the farm, and I would see Jesus walking in the clouds. And all these things were experiences I didn't understand at the time. But I later realized that there is a knowing of Jesus. There is a knowing of God that Jesus paid the price for. I mean, he paid the price that we could be reconciled to the Father, that we could know Him as sons and daughters, that and that He would absolutely walk with us each and every day in every aspect of our lives. So what is this knowing about? Wow. Knowing means to establish a relationship. If any man loves God, the same is known of him. To know suggests approval and bears the meaning to be approved. See, most of my life I never felt the Father approve me. I thought, I always pictured him as having this big stick ready to whack me when I goofed up. And most of my service to him was I was trying to earn my way. You know, if I serve him enough, and if I do enough, and if I try hard enough, and if I pray enough, and if I read the word enough, then maybe he will accept me. And I'm sad to say that I lived many, many years in that manner. But no more. No more, because the Father has so much more for us. To know, from Webster, means to perceive with certainty, to understand clearly, to be no stranger to. In Proverbs 3, it says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. We quote that all the time. What we don't understand is the word acknowledge. The word acknowledge there is the very same word that the Old Testament uses when it says that Adam knew Eve and she conceived. That word acknowledge means to know in an intimate way. And that's what Jesus paid the price for you and I, so that we would know the Father in such an intimate manner, an intimate way, that it will absolutely change our lives forever. So how do we know? I'm glad you asked. How do we know if we know the Father? What are some of the signs of that? We've already heard it today. Knowing the Father produces faith, and it will not allow fear to enter our life. So much of what we do in our lives, so many, how it affects, fear affects our relationships, because at times we need to have brave conversations with people and we're afraid to do so. We may have a difficult neighbor, okay, to get along with. Rather than praying for and pushing in for that neighbor, we avoid them. Why do we avoid a difficult neighbor? Because we allow fear to enter, and we don't have the boldness that we're looking for. Here's another one I heard. Recognizing and receiving the goodness of God. We receive the goodness of God every day. But most of my life, I never recognized it. I didn't recognize the goodness that He had for me. The way that He protected me. I can think of 3 or 4 times where He absolutely saved my life. I was driving late one night from a friend's house. It was probably 1 or 2 in the morning. I'm driving fast. It's a blacktop road, North Missouri. There's no center line. I heard these words, slow down and get as far to the right as you can. There was a car coming. I saw the lights. Okay? So we clipped. I was driving a Camaro, and the other guy was driving a truck, and our headlights barely missed. It took out the whole side of my car. I did not flip. He was 2 feet on my side of the road. If I had not moved over, I would have been dead today. I can think of many, many places, cases where God intervened and saved my life. But that's just the beginning of His goodness. His goodness is there if, you know, and if we know Him in an intimate way, we're going to recognize that goodness. Motivation for repentance. Oh, I used to think that, well, I'm repenting. I need to repent because I'm afraid of what's going to happen if I don't. And you know, that repentance didn't last very well. When that is the motivation for repentance, it typically doesn't last well. When the motivation for repentance is that I recognize and understand and see the goodness of God, and so because of His goodness, then I repent. And I'm able to sustain our repentance. I've done that one. All right. When we know the Father, when we truly know Him, it affects our motivation for service. Because what I'm wanting to do is please Him rather than wanting to please others. We look forward to our work at our job. We have a passion and joy for doing our job well. Some of us have spent years in the workplace and we dread going to work. And I want to say that maybe it's not the best job situation. But maybe if we knew the Father in a better way, we would be able to see the benefits of doing a great job in blessing our boss or the owner of our business. When we know the Father, we're full of hope. We're not susceptible to depression. We have peace and contentment in our lives. We have purpose in our lives. We can worship Him with abandonment and no fear of what someone's going to think if we run around the church. We learn how to receive with joy. I can't tell you the difficulty that I had in receiving. I guess I'm going to tell this. Many years ago, after Gina and I got married, we sold everything, and I'm a gun guy. I really like firearms. I reload ammunition. I'm kind of a shooter collector. and I really like firearms. So we had sold all of our firearms. And we had a friend that had a lot of firearms, and we'd go and have coffee with him. And so I went back to the company I was working for, and our financial situation was starting to improve, and my wonderful wife realized, you know, maybe it's time for you to buy a gun, because I had sold everything to pay bills, all my guns. And so, well, okay, that's interesting. And this friend of mine who had all the guns, we were in a wood shop working at our church. We used to have a wood shop, and the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, Ron is going to give you his Colt 44 Magnum Anaconda. Now, I'd never heard God tell me anything like that before, okay? But, I mean, I heard it clear. I heard it clear. So I told Gina, and I told one of my sons, and then I let it go. A year passes. A year goes by. And I'm, you know, getting a little bit closer to maybe the idea of purchasing a handgun. And I had been in Wichita, Kansas. I'd finished up my work about 4 o'clock, and lo and behold, there was a gun shop. Wow. And I went in, and I handled these guns. And that was on a Thursday. On a Friday evening, we're at my friend Ron's house drinking coffee. And I told him, I said, you know, I got to handle some 44 Magnum handguns, and I thought I wanted a 7.5-inch barrel, but I felt it was a little heavy, and I think the 6-inch barrel just fit just right. And so I think it was a week later on a Saturday morning, Pastor Steve Wilson walks in the wood shop, and he's got a big grin on his face. And I thought, why is he here? And then I see my friend Ron walk in, and he's got this blue box, and I knew what it was. Now, he had my pastor there because he didn't think I'd receive it. I'm serious. That's why he had Pastor Steve there. What he didn't know was that for that whole year period, God had been dealing with me about receiving from him and receiving from others. And he said to me, you know, you give really good, but you've got to learn how to receive. Because I want to bless you, but if you don't know how to receive from me, I can't. And so for a whole year, the Lord and the Holy Spirit is dealing with me about receiving. Now, my friend Ron didn't know that. He knew God was dealing with me, and he knew God needed to deal with me, for sure. And so he comes in, and he has that, and this is what he says to me. He said, you know, we were here about a year ago, and the Holy Spirit told me to give you this gun, but he told me not to give it to you until you knew what you wanted. And fortunately, I didn't go to him and say, hey, you're supposed to give me that gun. That probably wouldn't have worked very well. And my youngest son has that gun today. And it was a tremendous victory in my life because the father was saying, I'm wanting to give you much, but you've got to learn how to receive. You must learn how to receive. And so it began my journey. We can hear Father's voice when we know him. We are able to respond quickly and make changes in our life. We have the ability to abide in the Holy Spirit. You know that abiding thing? I mean, oh my goodness. How many sermons have we heard about abiding in the Lord? But the reason we don't abide with him is we don't know him. We don't know him in the way that and that's what Jesus paid the price for, that we would be reconciled to the Father. And it's more than being reconciled, it's developing a personal relationship with him that changes our lives forever. Do we want to experience the freedom that he paid for? Do we want to know that freedom? Then we need to know him. All right. So what are some of the results of knowing the Father? Number one, it produces confidence and courage to take risk. Joshua said, "Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Even more so now, with the Holy Spirit with us 24/7, it produces that confidence and courage. This is one of the things in our that is a hallmark of our school. The hallmark of our school is that we need to develop this relationship and know the Father in a way that we can get up here for the first time and share a testimony. We can go to someone's home we don't know, and with confidence, release the love of Jesus into their home. That comes from knowing the Father. Isaiah 40, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks, he increases their power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." We say those words. We know those words. We hear those words. But those words are for those of us who know. Those words are for you to pursue and press in to know the Father. Knowing the Father, number two, gives you an eternal perspective of love in everyday life. Our students experienced that yesterday. Little things matter. Love is all that matters. Love in the little things. The greatest of these is love. Hearts are big. Intellects are small. Stop for the one. Every person matters and is of the utmost concern of the Father. What causes Heidi Baker to advertise and come to a conference in Springfield, Missouri? And Bethany wants to pray for her. And so Heidi Baker is holding and ministering to Bethany, and Bethany is holding and ministering to Heidi Baker. And all these people have come to hear Heidi Baker speak. And so they wait for 40 minutes. And then by the time she does get to the platform, she calls up some kids, and then she prays over them, and then that's it. And she doesn't even speak. And it was glorious. She demonstrated a stopping for the one. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels and do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith to remove mountains, but if I do not have love, I am nothing. and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, it's kind, it's not jealous. Love does not brag, it's not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Here's the deal. I can't love Gina. I can't love you. I can't love anybody of my own accord. If I don't have the relationship with the Father, and if I'm not tight with Him, and if I don't know Him to where His love is flowing through me to others, I am nothing. It's all about relationship. It's all about knowing Him. Come on now. I've gone paperless, by the way, and I don't like it. So, number three, knowing the Father, it removes law and establishes grace and love in your life. Personal ambitions vanish. Acknowledgments of men fade into a place of non-importance. All that matters is loving the Father, loving Jesus, and loving people. Romans 8, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets you free from the law of sin and of death. There it is. But to know that is to know Him. To be set free from the law. And you know, I was under law most of my life. And you know, the biggest problem with being under the law is you place everybody else under the same law that you're under. And you know, that doesn't work. I'll testify. That doesn't work very well. That doesn't work well in families, communities. It doesn't work well in the church. Do we want to be free from the law? Then know the Father. Number four, knowing the Father causes you to dream, partner, and co-labor with Him to achieve your dreams. Now glory, Ephesians 3, now glory be to God, who by His mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we ever dared to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. How many of us live there? You don't need to raise your hand. How many of us really live in that place I just described? The reason we don't live there is because we don't know Him. Not to the measure that He desires for us to know. He loves us so much. And we know this. He sent His Son to die for us. But it's so that we could be reconciled to Him. You look at the story of the two sons and the prodigal father. And how much the father loved his two boys. And his two boys had exactly the same problem. They didn't know their father. The older boy didn't know he owned the farm. The reason he didn't know he owned the farm and that everything that the father had was given to him is because he didn't know his father. The younger brother only looked at his father for what he could provide him for, with. He didn't know him either. The two brothers had exactly the same problem. They didn't know who their father was. If they had known him, they would not have acted and responded the way they did. This is a big one. Number five. Knowing the Father produces a responsibility for the kingdom with joy. What is our responsibilities? Is it for our neighborhood? Is it for our family? Is it for our city? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy he went and sold all he had and bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Taking responsibility for the kingdom is really very simple. It's loving people and encouraging them to pursue the Father and to know Him. And that's it. He'll take care of the rest. In our school, our school is called a supernatural school. And we see the supernatural released. But at our core, it's that if we come to know the Father and we start conversing with Him and we get to know Him for who He truly is, then the supernatural will just follow us. It's just a natural evolution of our relationship with Him. Because He desires for us to walk in signs and miracles and says that they will follow us. But we don't see that. Most of us do not see the signs and wonders following after our life. And we wonder why. And we see that with others. And I'm here to tell you this morning, it's because we don't know Him in the way that Jesus paid His life for. To experience eternal life now. Experiencing eternal life now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. Knowing the Father establishes our inheritance. For He is our inheritance. His hand of blessing and favor extend to us and to the following generations. How important is it for us? How important is it that we pursue this knowing Father, knowing Him? Was it important to Jesus? John 5, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. The Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. John 8, when you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am He. And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. So if it's important for Jesus to know His Father, could it be it might be important for us to know Him in that intimate way? How do we come to know Him? Marlene at Dayspring, she gets to know Him at the dumpster of her business. She goes outside, she goes over and stands by the dumpster. And the Father speaks to her and they have conversations. Is it by the river? Is it in nature? Do we find the Creator in creation? Is it your prayer closet? Do we take enough time? Do we just take enough time to be with Him? In order to know Him, we have to be with Him. That's right. It's the call upon the church today. Enoch was the father of Methuselah. And I think he was 65 years old when Methuselah was born. He lived about another 300 years, and it says this, that Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more. because the Father took him. You and I have the ability to know him, to walk with him each and every day, to have the very same relationship with him that Jesus has. If we will pursue him, and pursue him with vigor, and pursue him with a commitment that we're not going to relent, he will answer. In Jeremiah, he says, if you will pursue me with all of your heart, you will be found by me. The two great commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's a little sentence in between. The first commandment is the great commandment. And it's great because it's the beginning. It's where we start. I can't love my neighbor. And Jesus said, the scripture says, it's the great and foremost commandment. Foremost, the root word for foremost means beginning. It's the beginning place. Because the Father knows, just like if Jesus can only do good things because of what he sees and hear his Father do and say, then how much more do we need to know him so that we can do and say the same thing? This is available to us. It's available to us. But we have to take the time to find him and pursue him and to know him. All of creation groans for the revealing of the sons of God. Lebanon groans for the revelation of you. For the revelation of the Father's sons and daughters who have pursued him and know him. They're waiting for you. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask Sean if he'd come on back. Getting to know the Father, which is eternal life. As you know him, you experience that which has already been provided for us. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask some of our Day Spring personnel to come on up. And I want them to share whatever words of knowledge they might have. Through the words of knowledge, we can experience the love of God, and God can touch us. So if they, those who have a word of knowledge, you just come on up. And anybody else who might have a word of knowledge that might have come to you during the time of our worship or perhaps even before, we want to spend a few minutes just ministering to people. And also, if you are sick, if you are physically sick and you need prayer this morning, then we're going to, after the words of knowledge have been shared, then we're going to encourage you to come on up and we'll pray also for the sick.